Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms.
If you have been following the show for a while, you know it is the universe's sense of humor that allows Stugatz to stumble his way into great successes and great vindications. For example, it wasn't that long ago that Elon Musk was considered a genius. Stugatz was at the very forefront, ahead of everybody, in questioning Elon Musk. You are all late. You all must stand behind Stugatz when it comes to making fun of Elon Musk. But I just saw Stugatz. I've been making fun of the content desert that there is in sports right now. I feel so bad for the anchors on SportsCenter. I expect to see them soon, like the Batman anchors, where they can't wear makeup because there's a contagion, because all they can talk about every night is baseball coming back or is it not coming back? So what we've done is, because we're creative minds, because we work quote unquote in the arts, and because necessity is the mother of invention, we've formed a whole bunch of top five lists. That's what we've done as the worldwide leader in sports. It's Stephen A. Smith saying that Russell Westbrook's in his top five. It's Dan Orlovsky saying that Carson Wentz is in his top five. And now it's Paul Pierce saying that LeBron James is not in his top five.
Dan, to be fair, we were doing top five well before this pandemic.
Agreed. And so everyone is coming around. We are pioneers on cruddy, crappy radio. And my latest examples, Stugatz, I couldn't believe it when I opened up ESPN.com. Tell me you saw this. Tell me you saw what ESPN.com is doing 2 months after you started doing it, because you're just lazy.
Oh, I'm outraged by it. Are you kidding me? Of course I saw it. They're doing all-time teams for every NBA team. I mean, it's unbelievable. They are doing their all-time starting fives for teams, and they're doing it lazier than I did it, which is unfathomable. It really is. I mean, at least I had two off the bench, and I apologize to two.
So wait a minute. Hold on. We need to explain to the audience. Did they just steal Stugatz's idea of all time starting fives? Because all we can do during a pandemic, what the hell are we going to do 6 months from now? If there are a bunch of positive tests and sports doesn't get off the ground, are we going to do top 10 lists? Are we going to do, because everything is a top five list right now,
right,
at our network. ESPN's all-time starting fives for every team in the Eastern and the Western Conference of the NBA.
Dan, I'll tell you what we'll do. What we'll end up doing is, and that's why I did it, but I did it early, is you'll do your all-time team, then your all-decade team, and then your all, every five-year team. I mean, that's what you do, But yes, I was outraged to find that ESPN had done this after I had been doing it for quite some time now. So,
can you stop giving Stugatz credit for creating top five lists?
No. I deserve the credit for this.
Wait a minute. It's not about giving credit. It's about my belief that no one in the history, not of sports, not of ESPN, no one in the history of humanity has parlayed laziness into being a trendsetter, a tastemaker, a pioneer, an army general more than Stugatz. So, for
Thanks.
The record, for the people who are just joining us and aren't familiar with why and how it is that Stugatz did this, he did this because at the start of the pandemic, the worldwide leader in sports and its number one sports radio show in America couldn't get good Wi-Fi. And so if the show broke down because of a panicked Wi-Fi situation and Stugatz was the only one standing on an island left with a microphone, left to his own devices to talk sports at a time that there are no sports, what Stugatz would end up doing is simply going to his all-time top five list. And he just has papers there. I don't know why you did this. You actually said this. I remember we came in, right? Because we didn't miss a day. We went from one day to the next. We were doing the show, you know, from our homes. And you had already spent that entire weekend doing a whole bunch of all-decade teams for no good reason that I could discern. It's not like you were preparing for the show. You've never prepared for the show.
No, I was preparing for, you know, 5, 6, 7 weeks down the road, once we started to run out of topics and you needed them. That's what, and it just felt like the thing to do because I had time on my hands. And, I am sitting here looking at some of these teams. Man, did they get some of them wrong?
Well, you did a lot of funny names. Like you just love throwing some Catino Mobleys in there because you just enjoyed certain names.
What I did was I did a starting five. I would have one off the bench, one for fun, just a fun guy that you remember growing up watching that team play, like the Houston Rockets. Vernon Maxwell off the bench is a fun guy just to have, you know, come off the bench. He might give you 22, he might give you zero, he might win you a game, he might lose you a game, but he's fun, one for fun. I apologize to two guys who probably should have made the team, but they did it because I put Vernon Maxwell on. I mean,
might punch a fan, might punch a customer and get suspended for 10 games, go walking into the stands. Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Do you remember Vernon Maxwell climbing into the stands to hit a fan? Ryan Clark has pulled back the curtain, Stugatz. I don't know if you've seen this on Get Up. But at this point, I'm pretty sure that ESPN keeps Kendrick Perkins and Paul Pierce well-employed just so that they say things. Like, they say things that make the content machine go. Kendrick Perkins is telling you that Paul Pierce's top five list that doesn't include LeBron James is because so many years ago when LeBron was coming into the league, Paul Pierce spit toward his bench. It is funny to see that kind of bias. As Austin Rivers says, he doesn't want to hear from you if you're not a coach or a player on all-time players. It is funny to see emotional bias poison Paul Pierce's analysis. He simply doesn't like LeBron James from the very beginning, because LeBron James extinguished his reign as being, you know, a super relevant champion player. LeBron James is single-handedly responsible by team formation for making a better big three than Paul Pierce's big three.
And we're using reign quite loosely. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because Boston media, huge market, but we've turned that Celtics team into a dynasty despite being overall. I mean, they have won titles, so you can't say it's a disappointment, but they probably should have had more.
Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Whose top five all-time Eastern Conference list do you like better, ESPN's or Stugatz's? But Ryan Clark pulled back the curtain, Stugatz, on all of these top five lists when he was on Get Up because he was complaining about the fact that somebody else got more airtime than him because they said something, I guess, dumber than what it is that he was willing to say. So let's go ahead and hear Ryan Clark pulling back the curtain on all of this nonsense that we do.
Ryan's raising his hand. Go ahead, Ryan. What's your point of contradiction?
I don't mean to cut Dan off, but I'm trying to figure out this. Okay. Pete McConville got in my ear during the break, and he tells me, "Be quick, RC. Go through your list fast." So obviously, Greeny, you are running the show because Field Yates got all this time to explain why Sam Darnold was so great. If Sam Darnold was at the top of my list, would I have gotten more time on the screen? Would I have gotten the opportunity to explain my answer, Greeny?
Yes.
Or was it all no? Since Phil has Sam Darnold first, let's let Phil go off forever so he can back up Greeny. I see what's going on here, guys. I see what you're doing, Pete. I threw you under the bus one time in the commercial, and I'm doing it again. I get it. What Greeny wants, Greeny gets. It's cool. It's fine. I'm just going to sit here in my sweater and mind my business from here on out. But I see what's going on, and I know what's happening.
But you know I love the sweater, if nothing else.
That's great.
Mike Greenberg's biases are polluting everything to get Dan Orlovsky more time because he's praising Sam Darnold.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. We love sports. Sports inspire us. They give us hope in ourselves, in the world, and, of course, in amazing comebacks. Our love for sports grows each day. Dear Sports is our love letter to sports. Share your Dear Sports letter with us. Call 860-506-6161 or share video or text using the hashtag Dear Sports on Twitter or Instagram. Here's your SportsCenter update. A day after receiving the news that he and his wife had a miscarriage, Chase Briscoe won the NASCAR Xfinity Series return to action at Darlington Raceway. The NHL Players Association Executive Board are currently voting on a proposed 2014 conference-based playoff format for a potential restart to the 2019-2020 season this summer. And finally, for the first time in 17 years, millions of cicadas, I don't know what that word is. They're going to emerge around parts of North Carolina, West Virginia, and southwestern Virginia. Cicadas come out as adults to breed and lay eggs in a cycle that lasts 4 to 6 weeks before they die. If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know, your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Mike, do you have any opinions here on what it is that we're discussing regarding Paul Pierce? Because what's going to happen with the silly things that Paul Pierce says is that people are going to discredit what was a really good basketball career.
Right.
The more we get removed from the excellence of his basketball career and replace it with the commentary that makes people laugh and argue, you get into these positions where Isaiah Thomas is indisputably one of the best basketball players ever, but many people associate him with the executive run at the end. Phil Jackson just got a nice bump in this documentary because his last 5 years were a total clown show in terms of them not, being able, very rarely do you get to leave the stage a hero. People have turned on Oprah Winfrey. Hell, look at what we had to do with this documentary to keep Michael Jordan a hero, how soft and nice it was to Michael Jordan. You still got these athletes out there getting their feelings hurt in the 50s, in their 50s. Scottie Pippen said to be in hiding, Stu Gatz. Nobody can find Scottie Pippen because he was so wounded by the portrayal, and Horace Grant is running around challenging 57-year-old Michael Jordan to a fight. What are your thoughts here on Paul Pierce, Mike?
I know the game. I know what Paul Pierce is here to do. I don't know if this happened organically, but he's always going, it's almost as if he's created just to bother me. From his playing career, his playing style, how cocky he was on the court, he was a Heat rival. And now he has just internalized all of that, made it personal, and he projects. Is it professional wrestling? I don't know. But his whole existence is to bother me. You think I'd be wise to the game right now, but it still works. Every time he opens his mouth. Down here in Miami, they proudly chanted, Paul Pierce sucks, and it became a thing. Anytime he was in an arena, it was one of the proudest Heat fandom moments, honestly.
That it spread?
Yes. And I chant it whenever I see him on the TV to myself. This guy bothers me with his takes. Ah, you give him the platform, and it's just because LeBron eliminated him in 5. They seem to forget that. And in 7. And he just hates LeBron, and he hates the Heat. He won't give anybody any credit, and he gets me every time. I'm watching the entire segment just to see how, because I like being angry at Paul Pierce. I realize that I need being angry at Paul Pierce.
I mean, I will tell Paul Pierce anytime he needs a reminder of how great LeBron James is, just turn on Game 6 of the Boston Garden. Also, the fact that Paul Pierce is on ESPN.com's All-Celtic team as their small forward is patently absurd.
Stugatz, you're doing it already. You're doing it already. You're going to discredit his career based on the things that he said recently. Paul Pierce has been a great player for the Celtics. Stugatz, I'd make the argument that people in Miami who were with
LeBron have very rarely had worse feelings than him in Miami in Game 5 before the Game 6. You mentioned him hitting a shot right in everybody's face in Miami. That might have been the worst feeling that anyone in Miami has felt with those 4 years of Heat teams because of how great Paul Pierce just generally was.
I mean non-J.J. Barea division, right?
Yes, non-J.J. Barea division.
Dan, I'm not doing anything with Pierce here. I'm just saying LeBron, I said earlier, it's easy to construct an all-time team and keep LeBron off of it and feel pretty good about the team you constructed. I am now pivoting over to the Celtics. I am not doing this because Paul Pierce said that about LeBron James. Bob Ryan would agree with me. Paul Pierce has no place on the all-time Celtic team. Like, the all-time Celtic really? Team is a coveted place and a place that Paul Pierce does not belong. That's all I am saying. It's an attack on Paul Pierce. Kevin McHale's not on it.
Bob Ryan would agree with you, is what you're going to say. Bob Ryan's entire team is going to be in the 60s. His entire team, all-time Celtics, is going to be the 60s and Larry Bird. There's not going to be anyone else allowed on his basketball team other than those Celtics. And we know across sports that guys who play in 2010 are better than guys who played 50 years earlier because of all the evolutions and advancements that there are that wouldn't allow John Havlicek to be what he was then now.
Hondo, I'm not certain Paul Pierce is as good as those guys. I mean, athletically, seriously, he kind of played like he was from the 50s.
Well, that's true. I can't dispute that. I wanted to get into something with you here because you've got ESPN going back to the well with a Tom Brady documentary. And I know Billy's got some thoughts here on Tom Brady. Tom Brady is now Stugatz's friend because he gave him 7 mediocre minutes on stupidity. But whatever the opposite is of Bart Scott's enthusiastic can't wait, can wait, this 9-part documentary represents that for me. Another one of these athletes who never says anything, who's careful to not be interesting on purpose, even more so than Michael Jordan by leaps and bounds, I am not interested in 9 parts of Tom Brady. I feel like I got the closest glimpse at him that I'm ever going to get on Facebook when he's doing that documentary with Deepak Chopra's kid. I don't think it's going to get much closer and better than that. Are you here for a 9-part documentary coming in 2021? Because we are going to celebrate winners, and the easiest way to do it as a sports entity, whether you're ESPN, whether you're in newspapers, whether you write, whether you make music videos or commercials, the easiest way to do it is just have someone who's excellent and doesn't say much so that you can paint in all the mythology around them and you never have to tackle the complicated stuff. You could just concentrate again and again on the winning and the excellence. I do not want 9 parts of Tom Brady. I'm more interested in the Lance Armstrong thing this weekend than I am in 9 parts of Tom Brady. You got what on this subject?
I mean, I'm not interested. I just got Brady out of my life. Like, I don't need to be reminded and walk through. I just got him out of my division. Like, the last thing I want next year is to relive the 9 Super Bowls that Tom Brady has been to. And the 6th, can I wait? Can he play a couple of years for the Bucks, and then we can do the whole thing on Tom Brady, the 12-part docuseries? I don't need it next season. He's still playing right now. The book has not been completely written yet. I mean, come on.
It's a 9-part documentary. Billy, I know you have some Tom Brady thoughts that have nothing to do with the documentary. You've been closely following his practices, him accidentally breaking into the wrong house. I shouldn't say breaking in, accidentally ending up in the wrong house, him breaking the law by being in a local park when he shouldn't have been. What is the latest development with Tom Brady that you wanted to talk about?
His crime spree is what you're talking about. So his latest thing is apparently he goes up and he introduces himself to his teammates. He's like, hey, I'm Tom. And they're like, yeah, we know. And I'm wondering, like, if you're Tom Brady, right, especially like in a football setting, they know who you are, right? So is it like sincere when you go and you say, hey, I'm Tom? Because I guess like what other option does he have? Like if you're going to like, I don't know, some business thing, maybe people won't know who you are. But on a football field, they know you're Tom Brady, right? That's just him, like, trying to be one of the guys.
I would argue that, yes, that is Tom Brady having gotten very sophisticated over 20 years in the public eye of being just the center's friend and just Tom.
I mean, but Billy already gave it away. What else is he supposed to say? I am the greatest quarterback of all time.
I mean, yeah. They go up and they're like, hey, whatever, it's me, I'm your teammate. He's like, hey, nice to meet you. But, like, you don't have to go further and say, hi, I'm Tom. You know what I mean? Like, especially if someone goes up and, like, hi, Tom, nice to meet you on blah blah blah. He's like, hey, I'm Tom. It's like, you know.
All right, put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Is Tom Brady sincere when he goes up to his teammates and introduces himself by saying, hi, I'm Tom? Because I'm here for Billy's skepticism, and I side with Billy's skepticism. I've told you before, Stugatz, that A-Rod would ask a million questions of people on how it is that he was supposed to behave in public, and Michael Jordan is somebody who taught A-Rod how to just touch the reporter's knee when you're talking to him and say his first name, and what will come out of that reporter's computer after that will be not unlike Stugatz, stupidity, melting in Tom Brady his eyes for 7 minutes after hating him for two decades. Yes, Billy, what is it that you have on this subject?
Can I be honest with you why I was wondering this? Because I'm not Tom Brady, right? But someone came up to me and was like, hey, do you work for the Levitard Show? And I was like, yeah, what's your name? And they said their name to me. And I said, I'm Billy. And they're like, I know. And I'm like, well, I mean, Tom Brady, come on. Like, because I saw a story about Tom Brady doing the same thing. And I felt like a jerk when I did it. And I'm like, Tom Brady has to feel a lot worse, right? Because he's Tom Brady. He's actually somebody. I'm not.
We update our NIT Looks Like tournament next.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Missing basketball? Tune in Sunday night for an NBA classic, Game 6 of the 2016 NBA Finals between the Warriors and the Cavaliers, presented by the Home Depot. Coverage begins at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Here's your SportsCenter update. Former Utah Jazz head coach Jerry Sloan has passed away. He was 78 years old. The Major League Baseball Players Association says that the 67-page proposal set of coronavirus pandemic protocols for a return to play was over the top and wants more frequent testing. And finally, Jaime Ronaldo Urbina Torres, mayor of Tantara, a small town in Peru, was hanging out with friends drinking on Monday night when police arrived to enforce a countrywide lockdown to avoid being detained for curfew and social distancing violations due to COVID-19. An inebriated Torres pretended to be dead while his friends did the more logical thing of hiding in nearby drawers. That's drawers. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So we've got four straight hours of Mike Tyson fights tomorrow night starting at 7 p.m. on ESPN, and we will get Teddy Atlas for you to tell Mike Tyson stories because he's worked with 17 or 18 world champions, and his stories regarding Mike Tyson are a bit crazy, Stugatz. Like, one of them involves Teddy Atlas holding a gun to the head of Mike Tyson. And so hopefully we will have him on to talk about some of those kinds of stories, because it is a desperate programming time, and ESPN is going to 4 straight hours of Tyson fights that I'm guessing are 30 years old. I'm guessing it's all the early fights, the ones where everyone was scared of him. You can make the argument that sports has never seen someone as scary as early 20s Mike Tyson, where people were looking at him and saying, how the hell do you defeat that? And ultimately, the only way you defeat it is it gets sloppy about its discipline. Fame becomes a corrosive. He could have been far and away, Stugatz, the best ever. The heavyweight division hasn't been the same thing right. since. This last 6 months, basically, last 12 months is as close as we've come to it. But it wasn't just Stugatz, the combination that Tyson had, right? It wasn't just that he was obviously excellent at what he did in terms of speed, and it wasn't just that he was obviously a form of menace that we basically had never seen, not even from a heavyweight. Even if you want to go back to, even Jack Johnson or the old time boxers who were scary, no one's ever been as scary as early 20s Mike Tyson, youngest heavyweight champion ever. But beyond that, his life was totally insane, Stugatz. Like, it's not, you think the Rodman thing was crazy from The Last Dance. You have stories about Mike Tyson that are they're him, his Ferrari breaking down and him deciding, because he's tired of dealing with mechanics and his Ferrari, to just make it furniture in his house and just put a Ferrari in the middle of his house on its side to be furniture. And it's not very high on the list of crazy things with Tyson. I remember, Stugatz, I remember, it's as scared as I've ever been in terms of covering sports or working. I think I can say this. And it was talking to Mike Tyson's limo driver, who had just written a book. We were in a Las Vegas hotel, and he was very skittish and scared because of the book that he had written. And he was wearing a bulletproof vest when I talked to him, because he was just simply scared of being around Vegas and a fight and money and Tyson stuff and this book, where he was just clearly cashing in on a bunch of crazy stories that he told as Mike Tyson's driver. And then there was a knock on the door, and I felt the need, as did the person I was with, to go to the floor and hide, like try to hide, because I did not know what was around this person or why he was wearing a bulletproof vest beyond, you know, what is going to happen. Well, you're laughing at me. I can't think of another time in journalism where I've been that kind of scared.
Well, I'm just imagining you as the door knocks, just you hitting the deck. I mean, like, did you hide, like, underneath anything?
No, I mean, there was no real, it wasn't, look, it was
just. It's not really hiding if you just fall down.
No, that's correct. Well, and you're in a hotel room, you're making noise. Thank you, Stugatz. Look, I didn't think I needed to explain to you that the hotel rooms, generally speaking, unless you're in a very large one, don't have a lot of hiding places. I understand that this was not rational behavior. It's just I was scared. I was young. I was talking to a human being who was clearly scared, who had betrayed the most menacing man in the universe. Like, there was nobody, Stugatz, at that time. Like, there was nobody who wasn't impressed by the menace of Mike Tyson, which, are you aware of how crazy it is, given that he's, what, 5'10"? Like, he's not, think about what we're talking about there. He's not very tall.
No, here, and the crazy thing about Tyson, I'm wondering, are you interested enough to go back and watch those early fights? Because none of them were very long. But here's the thing about Tyson. You kind of went into those fights knowing they weren't going to be very long, because he was that much better than everyone else at what it is that he did for a living. And you could argue some of the opponents, and you could argue this, you could argue that. He was just that good. I knew going into these fights, they might only last 90 seconds, But I had to see the entrance. I had to see the 90 seconds. I had to see the post-match comments. I had to see the interview. It was, you know, it was tune-in event. Mark your calendar down. You had to watch, even though you felt like you were probably, if you were paying for it, probably spending too much on a 90-second fight. But I still had to see it. You couldn't miss it. You could take your eyes off of it.
So Teddy Atlas will join us at 11:30 now Eastern, 4 straight hours of Mike Tyson fights tomorrow night, starting at 7 p.m. on ESPN. Stugatz, this is one of the things that is happening, okay? And it's understandable. There are a lot of people in sports and sports radio and sports gas bagging who have to give opinions now at a time where there are fewer opinions to have about things in sports than basically in the history of the talk industry, okay? So what is happening is Rich Eisen is saying that Rudy stinks. And Jorge Sedano is doubling down by saying, and so does Hoosiers. This is what happens during a pandemic, Stugatz. And I happen to agree with them. I agree.
What?
I thought so at the time that those movies came out, that they were vastly overrated. I do not love either one of those movies. But we have Rich Eisen saying flatly that Rudy stinks, and George Sedano saying Hoosiers stinks. So put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Are Rich Eisen and Jorge Sedano right that Rudy and Hoosiers stink? And would you, Stugatz, be willing, as the guy who loves to steal a take, the guy who is jealous of Paul Pierce because Paul Pierce gets a lot of run and publicity when he doesn't put LeBron James in his top five, and you just tried to, do that thing you do where you travel in the wake of one of these takes,
yeah,
and you tried to make your own top five list that didn't include LeBron James. Are you willing to put a third movie on this list, a sports movie that is well-regarded, that Stugatz believes doesn't deserve to be well-regarded? You love crappy sports movies. You're still talking about Varsity Blues and The Program. You loved Any Given Sunday. Most sports movies stink. Up and down stink, the grand majority of them. What was that movie with Mark Wahlberg as the Philadelphia Eagle? Invincible?
Yeah, Invincible. Yeah.
Oh, for the love of God.
There was actually a movie poster autographed for under $50 on this website that I was trying to get. It almost made the cut.
I mean, it's like the Rocky of special team players in the NFL.
Very true, Stugatz. Very true. In fact, some would say it's the only Rocky-type film for a special team.
You understand, though, right? You do understand when, and I don't mean to bring race into everything, but let's just, in the discussion we're having right now, do you understand why the guy who was the fourth best running back ever looks at Mark Wahlberg and says, really? An Eagles special teamer? Like, you already had Rudy. We're going to do this now with the tiny white guy who's an Eagles special teamer? Like, can we make some movies about actual excellence? Or are we just going to do it when white guys barely achieve and arrive at the very bottom of the sports entertainment ladder? Is that what we're going to make our classics? That and Indiana high school basketball.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Lance Armstrong's rise was among the most dramatic, inspirational, and popular stories in sports history. Then his fall was remarkably absolute. Years later, his story remains as compelling as ever. And as for the man himself, he's not done talking. The latest 30 for 30 Lance premieres with part one this Sunday at 9 Eastern on ESPN1. Part one will be available to stream on ESPN Plus immediately following the conclusion of the broadcast. Teddy Atlas going to join us here in just a minute. Here's your SportsCenter update. Former Utah Jazz head coach Jerry Sloan has passed away. He was 78 years old. The NFL is making plans to experiment in the 2020 preseason with new officiating positions that would be similar to a sky judge and an alternative to the onside kick. One offensive play with 15 yards to gain from its own 25-yard line. The Chiefs should do that every single time. And finally, Michael Bay is set to produce a COVID-19-inspired film titled Songbird that will film in 5 weeks. It takes place 2 years in the future, with the pandemic still ongoing due to a virus that continues to mutate. The tone has been compared to Cloverfield and Paranormal Activity. This Sports Center is brought to you by Blue Emu. From one of America's most trusted brands comes a new maximum strength arthritis pain relief cream. Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Pain Relief Cream is non-greasy, deep penetrating, and it's odor-free. Don't let joint pain strike you out. Reach for Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Cream. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to Sports Center on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
We like to help creative people. We like to help people that we care about, especially during a difficult time. So we're going to hand over the keys to the social media account to somebody again this weekend. We'll tell you about that in a second. Fans of the show are going to enjoy this. But right now we've got Teddy Atlas coming on. Four straight hours of Mike Tyson fights tomorrow night starting at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Teddy, as always, thank you for making the time. If I had come up to you when Mike Tyson was 21, 22 years old and said, Teddy, where is this going to end? Or just before he wins the heavyweight championship, what's this going to look like 10 years in, 15 years in? What would you have guessed?
Well, you know, the kind of question where you don't want to be looking like you're a Monday morning quarterback. Obviously, but then, you know, you can kind of depend on what you've been throughout your life. And so I feel I can say it because I haven't been known as a liar, been known as a guy that either side of the fence, I'll say what I believe and what has happened. I left there. I saw him when he was 12 for Custom Auto, powerful kid, you know, 190 pounds, obviously something special physically to build. And then I left when he was about 16. And after he had won the national junior Olympics 2 years in a row, knocked everybody out. But I left for obviously very serious reasons, very specific reasons, because of his behavior. So in the simplest way, I had been saying that I thought he would have problems. I thought that he would have problems controlling his emotions outside the ring. If that's the easiest way to say it, that these problems would not just go away, that they would continue to be there, continue to at some point come out and show themselves. They had shown themselves. I mean, it wasn't a secret. It's just that people were doing a pretty good job of making sure that not everyone saw it. And it was a different time as far as the social media. It was a different, you know, it wasn't as developed as it is today, where everything, just about everything, gets out there. So I forecasted early that he would have some problems with himself. And then those problems would also show themselves in the ring in the way that when he couldn't get his way outside socially, he had problems sometimes.
If I may, Teddy, I mean, can you explain to me why it is that you left? Because I'm pretty sure that you were mentioning, I think what you're referencing is the incident that you and I have talked about before. What happened at 16 years old that made you leave the camp? Was the last straw the incident that involved you holding a gun to his head?
Yeah, I mean, the way you treated an 11-year-old family member, a member of my family, a girl. But and what he had said to him, what he had proposed that he was going to do to her. But listen, I don't condone what I did, but I felt that I needed to protect my family, and I felt there's some things that are more important than making money or more important than a great fighter or a potentially great fighter. It's the way that you feel about yourself and the way that your family is treated as part of that. So, listen, he had problems. It didn't start there. It didn't end there. He had problems where, you know, with women, with where he would at times force himself and not understand what no meant. And, you know, got to the point where he thought he could do what he wanted to do and where, you know, if he couldn't, he would react in a certain way. And I thought that from a social standpoint, obviously, that's a problem. It's a serious problem. You don't have a successful athlete if you don't have a successful person. a person who's under control. How are you going to be successful down the road if you judge success in a proper way? But also in the ring, in his workplace. Because when he didn't get his way, when someone stood up to him and he couldn't hurt them, and he was one of the greatest punchers ever, and a combination of speed and power. I mean, it's tremendous. Unseen in some ways. But when he couldn't get his way and there was resistance, somebody standing up to him and saying no, so to speak, he had a problem. He had a problem. And again, it's documented. It was shown in the ring. It was lived out in the ring. Whether it was Holyfield, Buster Douglas, you know, Lennox Lewis, whoever it happened to be. But you could almost make an argument, and I'm going to say it again, so people don't say, yeah, it's because Teddy left. He's one of the greatest, from a physical standpoint, fighters there ever was, as far as power and speed mixed together, and the technique to use that power and speed to its utmost. Yes, but we're judged by our moments, our difficult moments, our moments when there's resistance, when there's controversy, when there's something to overcome. That's what we're judged by. That's what Muhammad Ali's judged by. It's what Joe Louis is judged by. It's what all the great ones are judged by. He didn't do well in those moments. When those moments came, those moments, he didn't do well. That's all I'm saying.
Do you believe, does Teddy Atlas believe, again, four straight hours of Mike Tyson fights tomorrow night starting 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN? It seems like a ridiculous question to ask you, perhaps, because he's the youngest heavyweight champion ever. But given the skill level you're talking about, did Mike Tyson underachieve?
That's a great question. Yes. But to qualify it the proper way, he didn't have the wherewithal. He didn't have all the traits, all the elements, all the abilities to be great. Now, Teddy, people are going to say, Teddy, what are you talking about? He just said he was one of the greatest, from a physical standpoint, fighters potentially of all time, as far as having those traits, having all those abilities. Yeah, he did have them all. But let me ask you a question. If somebody didn't have... And forget about somebody. Let's stay with Tyson. If Tyson didn't have the power, will we say he could have been one of the greatest of all times? No. If he didn't have the speed, no. Because those things we trust, we see, we'll feel confident about. We know what they mean. But how about having character? How about having the ability to be reliable under pressure? The ability to overcome? How about if you don't have that? Can you be great? Well, I'm going to tell you no. And so the proper answer to that question is, yeah, he did underachieve, yeah. But he didn't have those abilities to achieve to that level of that consistency.
Teddy, thank you for being on with us. We look forward to the four straight hours of Mike Tyson fights tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Always good catching up with you, sir.
My pleasure.
We will tell you who will be running the social media account next.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Lance Armstrong's rise was among the most dramatic, inspirational, and popular stories in sports history. Then, his fall was remarkably absolute. Years later, his story remains as compelling as ever. And as for the man himself, he's not done talking. The latest 30 for 30, Lance, premieres with Part 1 this Sunday, 9 Eastern on ESPN. Part 1 will be available to stream on ESPN Plus immediately following the conclusion of the broadcast. Here's your SportsCenter update. Former Utah Jazz head coach Jerry Sloan has passed away. He was 78 years old. The NFL is making plans to experiment in the 2020 preseason with new officiating positions that would be similar to a sky judge and an alternative to the onside kick, one offensive play with 15 yards to gain from its own 25-yard line. And finally, Michael Bay is set to produce a COVID-19-inspired film titled Songbird that will film in 5 weeks. It takes place 2 years in the future with the pandemic still ongoing due to the virus that continues to mutate. The tone has been compared to Cloverfield and Paranormal Activity. I feel like I've read that a couple of times today.
Yeah, how long was it going to take before you realized that was the exact same one?
I mean, it's just one of those days. I mean,
how is that possible? What do you mean one of those days? You didn't realize it until like the last sentence or two, and it's something you've read before.
Well, listen, I read what's put in front of me, and I was sent the noon update. Now, we are experiencing some technical issues, all of us, okay, everyone, guys back in Brazil, no one's fault, okay, and what was put in front of me is the same end finally. I am not blaming anyone. I don't want to fine for it. I am just telling you it's the same exact end finally that I had at 11:30, okay? Did I read a sponsor?
All right. I asked this question genuinely. I don't know whether your job, how hard it is to be as relentlessly lazy as you are. I don't know the difficulties in it. Well, no, but I want you to help me understand, like, is it an unreasonable thing? I know we've been doing this for a long time, and you, we have built you into the monster that you are that gets us great laughs and great love because your laziness always gets rewarded. Yeah. I ask the question I'm about to ask you genuinely. Right. Is it unreasonable to think that someone who is reading his minute of copy on the radio at any time in the history of radio would have read it before he's reading it for the first time on the air? I'm asking the question genuinely. Like, go back to the times of whenever radio was, you know, Edward R. Murrow, whoever it is that you believe to be the golden age of radio. Do right. you think it's unreasonable to ask that person to read something before they're reading it on air live for the people? Because the ways that we've rewarded you is the more poorly you read it, the more things it has wrong in it, the more content we get out of it, like we're doing right now. So mm-hmm. I am legitimately asking the question, do you think that doing those flashes, any update person who has ever done those flashes, is reading them for the first time live on the air in the history of radio?
For me, the golden age of radio was 80s, 90s, Mike and the Mad Dog, and John Minko, one of the great update anchors of all time. I am convinced the Mink Man read his updates well. In fact, he wrote his own, which I do not do. I am convinced that he read all of his before he went on the air. It's not an unreasonable thing that you're asking me or to be upset about. What I am telling you is I just read what was in front of me. Now, I should have noticed it. I should have read it earlier. But unlike the Mink Man, I am dealing with technical issues and COVID-19.
Okay. But you never read them anyways. And what the real question I'm asking you, because it is an amazing, like, in this respect, it already represents a great victory for our show. You all, if you've been listening for 20 years, you know what the deal is around here. Okay. Whenever this flames out, either it's because, you know, the SEC is rushing Stugatz's house or the FBI, or I say something stupid, or something happens where the whole thing falls apart. The goal is that at the very end of that, Stugatz will be standing on top of the mountain, perched at the highest point in sports journalism. And so in this respect, we've already arrived there, Stugatz. You honestly have a gig in reading those things that is unlike what I believe to be anyone in the history of radio.
Right.
You are a polished radio personality. You know radio. You admire update guys who do the polished radio. You took on the assignment of doing the updates because you are good at doing that. And no one has been afforded the privilege that you have of you're basically reading it for the very first time the minute that the microphone is on.
Yep. The SEC rushing my house. I mean, why would the Southeastern Conference be coming to my house? What are you doing there? I mean, listen, you're right, Dan, but I'm dealing with technical issues. And again, I mean, pandemic, COVID-19, I cannot hear out of my right earphone. And I can't help it. I was sent the same copy as I was at 11:30. Okay. I should have read it before. I'm trying to do a better job. I'm reading better, I feel like, but I should have proofread that one. You're right.
Chris, did I see that you had something that you wanted to say here? It looked like you wanted to get in on this subject, because I don't want people to think I'm being mean to Stugatz here. I'm just genuinely curious whether anyone has had quite the same gig that he's got, where it doesn't matter that that's what happens in the update. Stugatz, my guess is that the Mink Man has had how many moments in the history of his career do you think that have all of the things that you have in even a week? Do you think in a week of updates you do more things wrong than the Mink Man has done all his entire life?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the Mink Man is a Hall of Famer, Dan. I mean, anyone who's in radio who's making a top five list of top five update anchors of all time, they're including Bob Uessler and the Mink Man, John Minko. I guarantee you, they're two legends, okay? They really are. I mean, so, but yes, I have made more mistakes just this week than the Mink Man made his entire career.
Mike, again, I want to prep this because this happens all the time around here. All right. Now, Stugatz and I, for those of you who aren't familiar, Stugatz and I are friends. Like, we've had a professional working relationship, and these things are really hard to keep together. Most don't stay together this long. And one of the reasons it stays together is because we understand each other and we love each other and we respect each other. But it just dawned on me after 20 years of doing this with you. Yeah, man. Like, there's a certain level of professionalism that probably goes into reading that you should probably take a look at something before you have to read it. But Stugatz doesn't want to be bothered with that.
Yes. But I do understand where Sue's coming from, too. You want to trust that if something's put in front of you, it's the right thing. But there are fail safes for that because this is a lot. And especially with the workflow, things are going to get screwed up. So maybe 1% less worse from Stugatz would be great during these times.
I feel like I've been trying to do that because I've eliminated the drive and I'm trying to do some of that stuff. Here's the other thing. I'm not excuse making here, Dan, but just hear me out, okay? The end finallys, I don't need to read the sports stuff. I got it, okay? The end finallys are something I think Mike doesn't want me to read before I go to air with them because they're always trying to trip me up. And if I read them, I will change the words around because I don't want to be embarrassed on the air. And I think Mike takes a great amount of pride, as does Roy, in getting me to mess up for the audience, for the sake for content. Yeah. And so I'm hesitant to read them before because I will change the words around to words I can pronounce, you know?
That is certainly a good point. We don't want you reading any Russian hockey names or anything like that beforehand. We do like the surprise of it. We have to be better. Maybe don't read the entire end, finally, once you get into it and realize, wow, this is a strange day, a huge influx of Michael Bay and finallys. Oh, wait, this is sounding familiar. Why does it take you three paragraphs before you realize that's the same exact one?
This is the thing, Stugatz. This dawned on me and Mike at exactly the same time. Like, we were sitting here looking at each other and basically understanding what the other one was thinking, where we're like, how many of these sentences is he going to read before he realizes that he has read all of these sentences before very recently? And it's a fascinating. So not only, Stugatz, this is the wonder of you, okay? And it is why you are a glorious symbol for laziness that will extend throughout eternity.
It's not merely that you
don't read the updates before you have to read the updates. It's after you've read them, you don't remember anything from what you've read. Like, it's the most cotton candy thing in the history of radio. Like, it just evaporates. There's no nutrition in it. You don't learn anything. You're not going to work harder next time. You're not going to retain anything more the next time.
To Dan's point, it's totally fair. If you ask me anything about the last two end finallys I've read, the only thing I'd be able to tell you is Michael Bay was involved. Not a single other detail. I have no idea what I've read. Not.
Hold on a second. Mike, come on, bring this to the air. Mike is sitting here laughing because he says Chris is writing uproariously funny things in the chat that we have to go to, but we can't go to because I don't know who it offends. What is Chris writing in the chat? Mike, do you want to do it for Chris or do you want Chris to come here?
Just the whole segment's been a disaster. The radio audience couldn't even hear the update at the time because we're trying to fix all the technical difficulties. I heard like the same reason joined back to back. It feels like deja vu, and if it is, I'd rather be reliving a good show as opposed to this one. But Chris Cody, I understand why you put it in the chat. It was really funny. I would have preferred it on the air because it's a callback. You have to be listening nonstop over the last 3 weeks, and given the quality of the shows, I don't blame you for not. But he writes in the chat, guys, I'm rewatching Boy Meets World, which is a really funny.
That's a funny joke.
It's a funny joke.
That's right, because Chris did the same thing with a thought of his from 1 week to the next. Like, We have an extraordinary level of incompetence under normal circumstances, but the idea that Chris would empathize with Stu Gatz because the one time that he decided to have a responsibility in the last month, he had to say boy meets girl, and then he did it again, boy meets world, and then he did it again the very next week. The very next week. Oh, for the love of God.
Yeah, it's a holiday weekend. We're just going to check out for the rest of
the show. Let's get into the weekend, Bristol. Just go to commercial.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Jalen and Jacoby, the after show, continues this Sunday following the premiere of the latest 30 for 30, Lance Part 1. Immediately after the show airs, listen to the wrap-up podcast as Jalen and Jacoby react to the film that features Armstrong himself and one of the biggest doping scandals in sports history. Subscribe now to Jalen and Jacoby, the after show, on Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. Here's your SportsCenter update. Former Utah Jazz head coach Jerry Sloan has passed away. He was 78 years old. The Jets and Jamal Adams have reached an impasse in contract talks. And finally, Michael Bay is set to produce a COVID-19 inspired film titled Songbird that will film in 5 weeks. It takes place 2 years in the future with the pandemic still ongoing due to a virus that continues to mutate. The tone has been compared to Cloverfield and Paranormal Activity. Crazy. If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know. Your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Now, that was an excellent callback joke, but I, unfortunately, have been beset today by what I believe to be more difficulties than any show we've ever done in the history of this show. I'm not sure if people understand how funny the joke you just made is, because I'm not totally positive we were even on the air the first two times that you read those sports flashes. I'm sorry, Bristol. It's not surprising to me the day after you get our gifts from here that you're just a total complacent bleep show. Not surprising at all, the number of mistakes that have come from up there. There's been nobody here today who has done their job well. Am I wrong when I say that this show today has been haunted? It has been beset by more difficulties than any show we've ever done on the air.
Without question, maybe there was a Shula State 2 Miami Lakes early on when we first started out that was more difficult than this, but it's certainly in the top five, Dan, since we're making top five lists. This has been technically challenging. I am not certain if any of it's been on the air. I am hopeful none of it's been on the air, but I have a feeling all of it's been on the air.
I don't know, but some of the jokes and callbacks can't work if we weren't on the air when the other jokes were being made.
This has been a rough one. I'd say the first couple of weeks where we kept dropping out on connections was difficult. It's gone a solid 2 months since we've had a show.
This is the worst radio day of my life. Yeah. I just want it stated for everybody. This is the one.
Dan's already said, like, he's not coming in on Monday. He's just flatly.
I'm sitting out. We need to be more supported than this, because we're floating at sea here with an assortment of inconveniences that really make it difficult for us to produce more content than we ever have.
Yeah, if you're not coming in Monday, I don't think I'm going to come in Monday. I could tell you the guy who seems strangely, oddly happy today because he's had one of the most horrific weeks in the history of radio, not just sports radio, radio in general. Chris Cody seems happy at our demise. I mean, it's like well, no, off him.
I think what's happened here is that Chris has been the best of us today. Chris is absolutely, because he just hasn't done anything wrong. Yeah. Instead of spending the whole week doing things wrong, today he gets to sit it out as everyone else does something wrong.
You're familiar with the cliche, a rising tide lifts all boats? The exact opposite happened with Chris Cody this week.
So the story that David Sampson told, did it live up to your expectations? We were talking for 2 days about this conversation that Mike Ryan had with David Sampson that Darren Revelle gives me credit for. Thank you, Darren Revelle. Billy, did the story live up to the hype in terms of what you found out that you usually don't have any access to? Because when these rich people fight, you never find out about the details.
It's a cute story that David told. I'm kind of worried, if I'm going to be honest with you. I know he doesn't like me, but I'm kind of worried. Like, he really doesn't like Derek Jeter, like, at all. I don't think Derek Jeter cared at all about that bus. I think that he was just like, okay, fine, there's some bus that's gone. I feel like, you know, we got to let go of the Jeter thing. And I also don't believe that Derek Jeter bought the Marlins just so A-Rod couldn't. That's ridiculous.
Wow. Mike believes that. Mike says he believes that. Man, A-Rod and Jeter, that is an interesting relationship. And I learned from sources other than Sampson that Jeter and A-Rod were going after the Marlins. That's not just a Sampson concoction. That was something that, you know, led A-Rod back to Miami. He would have loved to have the Marlins.
I mean, I believe that A-Rod would have liked to have the Marlins, but like when you see Jeter sitting there all alone eating sad popcorn in like the 14th inning on a Wednesday game, I think he's doing that to make sure A-Rod couldn't be sitting in that seat, you know?
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I don't believe that Derek Jeter got into Major League Baseball ownership because he just wanted to hold that over Alex Rodriguez. But the second that Alex Rodriguez became interested in the same team, I do believe that there was a secondary goal.
Don't you think, Billy, that A-Rod is going after the Mets? The Mets were $2.6 billion for 80% of the Mets, and A-Rod tried to get into that game with J-Lo and with J.P. Morgan as well, and still they didn't have what was necessary to make that conquest. You don't think that A-Rod absolutely wants to compete with Jeter and the competition to be ownership of a team because of and around Jeter, both of them? Obviously, you want to make money too, but you don't think you think the competition between them just dies as soon as they retire?
Ooh, so you think that he wanted the Mets because they could be a division rival?
I think he just
think about that.
Wants to have the status, man. Look, A-Rod was a better player than Jeter. People don't know that. People don't think that. A-Rod is viewed as a cheater who's popular, but most people, in terms of the mythology and the things that are around Jeter, they're all the things A-Rod wanted. A-Rod wanted to be viewed the way Jeter is viewed in New York. And so, I think it's fascinating that David Sampson, absolutely, during the sale of this team, which sold for hundreds of millions of dollars more than it should have sold, was driving up the price by making Jeter and A-Rod think that the other one wanted the show. Why wouldn't you believe wanted the team? Why wouldn't you believe that, Billy?
How much of, as an aside, how much does that suck for David Sampson, where it was his job to get as much money for the owner as possible to bring someone in to fire him? Like, that sucks.
But I mean, $1.2 billion doesn't suck.
But to Billy's point, it has never seemed that like a sadder time to be Derek Jeter and a more exciting time to be Alex Rodriguez. I mean, are we certain A-Rod really didn't win by losing out on the Marlins?
So finally, there you go, Stugatz. This is the way that he gets ahead of Jeter. Finally, at the very end, we update the polls and open the club next.